Well, if you were around the church at all in the last week or so, you'd see scenes like this. Tons of preparation going on for the big garage sale that takes place here every October and every May. And so there's lots of stuff that comes in. A lot of people had to be hauling that stuff from cars in the middle of the rain this week, and you get treasures like angel banners, and all has to be sorted and put in rooms. I think Mel looks like he's off to face the New England seas or something. So bring us back some fine catch there, Mel. Mel was out in the truck going around picking up furniture, and this is one of his brief respites inside, but he was looking for a bell. The jewelry crowd was having a little fun with all the good stuff that was there. They got to play with the jewelry a little bit. And this is in the kids' room. Penny humored me and even posed for a picture for me there. And this is our fierce security crew. Actually, I don't think a church should have a fierce security crew. I think we should have a friendly security crew. But they're out in the parking lot making sure everyone's safe and making sure that most people pay for most things, which is always a good thing. And then I've learned the rhythm of the garage sale by now. I've been here a couple of years, and so I know all the prep that takes place. I know the day of the sale. And there is this moment on Friday afternoon, after all the volunteers have been working Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and at about 4 o'clock Friday, they're pretty much done, and they've got everything organized and arranged, and everyone just starts wandering around looking at the stuff, because this is the pre-shopping period. And if you've worked or volunteered at the garage sale, you don't get a discount, but you get first dibs, so to speak. And so everyone's sort of been marking their stuff, and people are trying to act not too interested in it, so they're sort of wandering around making sure no one else is looking at the same stuff that they're looking at. And there it is. I mean, it is just a ton of stuff. And that's just the Fellowship Hall. I mean, multiply this out by all these rooms. It's an amazing amount of stuff. And most people say that their goal here is to donate more stuff than to take that they take home with them. And some people don't succeed at that goal. I'm happy to say I donated more than I took home with me this year. But who could resist that? Now, if you donated that, I apologize that I've just insulted you in church. Or if you bought that, I apologize that I've just insulted you in church. But we're not the only ones that want our stuff. People start lining up in the rain about 4:30 in the morning. And there was somebody who came the night before and spent the night on our porch. 9:30 she came, the first person in line. And I wouldn't come that early for our stuff. I've seen our stuff. But that line the line wraps all the way around the parking lot, and it goes out that way, up Enfield Road. It's amazing. So by the time, this is a sweet moment that sort of got out of order, but here's Ann Harrison rarely lets me take her picture, but she let me take her picture with her grandson back in the kitchen getting ready. But here's the moment. So it's about 8:29 now. And here is Tim Krause at the front door ready to open the floodgates. And they come in and you better get out of the way. We can barely hand them a bag as they walk in the door. And they are ready and determined, and they have stuff on their mind and stuff they want to get. It's really pretty amazing. And people walk away with all kinds of treasures. And it's always fun to see what people find and what people find interesting. Love to see it when the kids find something that they like. And there's always Gwyn at the helm, just helpfully telling you, if you'd like some furniture, there's a special going on in the furniture room here. But there are always a lot of people who walk away with lots of stuff for a very low price, and some of these people really need this stuff. Now, most of us, if we're honest, we don't need much of that stuff. It's just stuff. So I couldn't help but get a kick out of God's sense of humor this week. Because the text I've been reading and preparing and living in all week long for this Sunday, now this was set without any connection to the garage sale, is Psalm 23. And there's this great line in there, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack, I'll have enough." And what an irony this week when there's so much stuff around here. To be reminded that our dependence and our sustenance and our life comes from God. And we have all that we need. And the problem is we think that we still need more. We think that we still need more. I have nothing that I lack. The Lord is my shepherd, The Lord is my shepherd. It's one of the most commonly known psalms. You don't even have to go to church, really, to know this psalm. They've described this as the American secular psalm. Even though it's our psalm in the Hebrew tradition, in the Jewish tradition, the Christian tradition, it's in our book of prayer, the Psalms. You don't have to be part of any of those religious communities to know this psalm. And why is that? Why do people know this psalm, even if they don't go to church or synagogue? Why is it? Funerals. That's exactly right. Because this psalm, more than any other psalm, is used in memorial services, at funerals. It's printed on the back of prayer cards that you might pick up at a funeral home. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And there's a good reason it's used in that capacity. Because why? There's this great line in there. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's a good reason we use it for funerals, but I can't tell you how many commentaries I read this week in preparation that said this is not only a psalm for the dead and the dying, this is a psalm for the living. This psalm that says and affirms that God is our shepherd, and we have these pictures of Jesus as the shepherd too. It's hard not to fast forward to the New Testament or think of shepherds that we've seen in Sunday school classrooms or Sunday school literature. This is a psalm about God's presence all of our lives, every day of our lives, providing for us, taking us by still waters and offering us green pastures. Now, the other psalm that you heard so beautifully sung by Carissa this morning, that musical setting of that psalm was one I learned when I was in seminary. I'd never heard it done that way before, and I had a chance to sing and lead that for our seminary worship community. And so whenever I think of Psalm 63, it is always musical in my head. It is always a sung psalm. And these words of the psalm are powerful. These are words of longing, aren't they? This is the psalmist is talking about this longing, this yearning for God. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and waterless land is what was sung, but a weary land where there is no water. A dry and waterless land. We are parched. Our souls are parched for God. There is this deep longing inside of us to be connected with the one who made us, with the one who has purposes for our life, with the one who can sustain us. And I think that's true for people of faith and for all people, that there is this deep hunger and there is this deep yearning to be connected to God. Some people go a lifetime searching, wondering, wandering. There's this deep longing inside of us. And I think that's where this psalm connects with Psalm 23. Because Psalm 23 speaks about how from the other side of the equation, God longs for us too, and God sets a feast for us. This is the line that that's also came out on this World Communion Sunday for me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Isn't that a great line? In the presence of my enemies, in the most difficult of circumstances, God doesn't just get you through with a little MRE, a little meal ready to eat, you know, the little pouch. This is a feast that God prepares for us in the presence of our enemies. There is more than enough to get us through whatever our most difficult circumstances are. And it might look like this. This is a feast, a banquet set in a church in Seoul, Korea. How about that banquet table? Could you imagine going there? I picture God's banquet like that. The language of banquet and feasting is all through the Psalms. It's all through the prophets. And it's sort of a shorthand for talking about when God's people will be redeemed. When God's people will be redeemed, they will look like a great banquet, a great feast, when the people will be gathered in and they will eat at table together with God. Jesus talked about that a lot. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God is like a wedding banquet, a great banquet that everyone is invited to over and over. I could eat at a feast like that. Now, us Marylanders, we might picture the kingdom of God more like this. This is our great feast, right? our feast a crowd. You might even know that scene. That's down at Navy Stadium where the Rotary Club has their annual crab feast, and it is a huge table after table after table of crabs that people go to enjoy. The kingdom of God is like that, where we're all invited to this feast. Now, there's a word in the psalm, and it's throughout the psalms, really, that I want to lift up for you. And here's a little Hebrew lesson for the day. Chesed. Can you say chesed? You got to put a little bit in your throat like that, and a little bit in chesed. Chesed. And it means, it's often translated in the Bible, in the psalms particularly, God's steadfast love. Remember that phrase that sort of repeats to the Psalms? God's steadfast love endures forever. God's steadfast love endures forever. It's this steadfast love, a love that will not let you go. It is God's, and the way that it shows up in this psalm is it's in God's mercy. It's surely goodness, and what will follow me? Mercy, God's chesed, God's loving kindness, God's mercy will follow me all the days of my life. But the verb follow is a little weak. If we were to translate that probably a little bit more closely to the Hebrew, it would be pursue. This is an active verb. This isn't just a little God's love sort of follows us along like this. This is God's love relentlessly pursuing us. Doesn't that change the image for you? God's love never gives up on us. God's love is always longing for us to come to the table. And so on this World Communion Sunday, I picture the table like this. You can put whatever food you want in it, but I picture it with all kinds of colors and all kinds of people from all over the globe. That's what we celebrate on World Communion Sunday, that we are a diverse body of Christ and we are God's family together. Whatever language we speak, whatever customs we have, whatever ways we worship God, there is a spirit of Christ that draws us together into one common family, one body of Christ. There's a young boy that was learning Psalm 23 with his Sunday school class, and they were preparing it in the class because they were going to have to present it in church. Without a script. They were just memorizing it. And most of the kids were doing pretty well. Psalms 23 is how many verses long? Did you pay attention? It's only 6 verses long. Not very long. So not a long assignment. And so they were studying it, learning it, and getting ready for the big day. There was one little boy who was struggling every time. He just could barely make it past the first line. But the teacher was patient, worked with him. And, you know, she kept saying, just do the best you can with it. You know, don't be worried. Don't be nervous. Just do the best you can. So the big day came. The kids started getting up. And the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Most of the kids made it through. And this little boy got up scared to death at the lectern to speak into that microphone. And he started off all right. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he just stopped. He froze. So he sort of regathered himself. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he's a little, he just couldn't gather this word. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's all I need to know. He couldn't have said it any better. What else do you need to know? What else do you need to know? Amen.